You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales.
That's not the name of the show.
Oh,
it's
right.
October.
What the Spooklore.
That's better.
Making Sense of Spoopy Tales.
The Spooktralizer, the machine that rates the overall spookiness of our October stories, has returned to us from its journey out in the wide world.
Is that what it was doing?
Yeah, it takes like a walkabout every year.
This machine has slowly gained sentience over the past couple years. I don't think it enjoyed what it was doing with the capacity it had and wanted to discover itself, but it has returned to us.
It gumps it for like 360 days of the year, yeah. Then comes back for a week.
Yeah.
Well, it comes back for the month. Yeah, it comes back for a full month.
Yeah.
Crashes on our couch, eats all our Cheetos. Rates our stories for spookiness.
And then goes and gumps it again.
Yep.
Smokes.
It's got to collect more spookiness.
Smokes a lot.
So
I've noticed.
I am your ghost storyteller, Carmen.
Crimes are already scary. I need to change, right?
They sure can be.
Do you want to, like, specify scary crimes?
I'm not changing if that helps you.
That's because your fate's decided by outside sources.
Which is just scary in and of itself.
Which is scary to not be in control of your life.
Yeah, it's the unknown, which is terrifying.
The most scary. I'm the crime weaver, Tyler. Maybe I'll think of something next week.
You got time. We got like 5 weeks of spooklore.
I'm Gordy, the Right Honorable Lord Mayor of the City of London. Thank you, Vinca, on Twitter. I was not even allowed to go into London. I think it's unlikely they would elect me the mayor.
Well, no, they knew that you were the rightful one.
Yeah.
Like, and they're trying it's a cover-up.
Yeah, they've been electing mayors, but you're the one who could pull the mayor sword from the mayor stone.
I don't really want to dethrone Sadiq Khan.
What?
He seems all right.
What powers does the mayor sword bestow on its user?
It cuts through all the red tape.
It cuts. It opens malls and probably letters. this is what I want. I want this now.
Yeah.
I want like the most small time King Arthur story that is possible, and I want the same for Batman. I want Batman in a little shitty town with no villains, and he doesn't have the money to make it in Gotham, expensive city.
Batman in a warehouse. Like, it's not even a full town.
Batman already does warehouses.
He does. I want.
He needs to be in like a barn.
I want Batman in the town my parents live in.
Batman in a like suburban chicken farm, and all crimes are chicken crimes.
Batman in the suburb is just getting stuck in chimneys like real bats.
Well, everybody shouts, he might have rabies.
He's a pest.
Yeah, more or less.
He lives in strangers' attics.
You find him in the attic emaciated.
Like Christian Bale in The Machinist. I also have an update on my larval stage. I have two updates, actually.
Whoa.
One is a correction. The actual full title, which like the tweet was cut off.
Yeah.
I thought that was the end, but it wasn't. The full title was The Gooey Larval Stage of Something Yet More Amazing and Terrible to Behold. I don't know that word. Mandibles at the Ready. Some kind of bug thing, probably.
Probably.
Do you want to show it to me? I might be somewhat familiar with it. I'm more a vertebrate person.
Take a run at it.
Chelicere. Chelicere.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but I've seen that word before.
I don't know. Some bug shit. So that was the full title it was a couple weeks ago.
It might be like the straw sucking thing that someone have.
By Justin Crandall. But we do have an answer for what the larval stage is. This is not on brand for spook lore or October or Halloween in general, but it's good life advice.
Yeah, we're just getting started.
So I'm going with it. Linda Burt on Twitter suggests, consider the beautiful creature who bursts forth from the What Am Gordy cocoon is me.
Gordy.
Because I was beautiful all along, and sometimes you got to spend some time in a weird cocoon to figure out who you are.
I'm glad that you like the Spooktralizer, have gone on this journey of self-discovery.
Linda has a gift for fortune cookies.
I mean, not within the character count, but yes.
Well,
they sometimes make the font real small.
Yeah.
You want a fold-up fortune cookie.
Like a novella.
Cookie. While you're at it, print some more useful Chinese words on them fortune cookies. I don't need to know how to say, like, rice and grape in Chinese.
Not anymore.
I need to know how to say help and police.
And jeans.
Start with emergency words and go from there.
Bathroom.
Toilet.
Yeah,
toilet would be nice.
Toilet. Great word in any language. Learn how to say toilet.
Good first one. All right. So we are starting our spooky stories. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to Japan for a ghost story.
There is spooky stuff over there.
There's indeed plenty of spooky stuff.
I think
stuff.
Japan is well known for some weird spooky stuff.
They yeah, like to do ghost stories.
They rock the ghosts over in Japan.
Ju-on. That's a pretty good horror movie.
Yeah.
I would say. I don't know if either of you have ever seen it.
I am not familiar.
Japanese version of The Grudge.
Did not watch either.
It's all right.
I think the only... saw one that was like an urban ghost story. I think it was Japanese. Might have been French. It was a long time ago. It was like in an apartment.
Narrows it down. Japanese or French movie about an apartment.
Why would you go with The Grudge over Ringu?
Because I liked it better. I have seen both the Japanese and the American versions of both. Mm-hmm. I think I liked The Grudge better.
For both versions? What is the metric? Because you have to take them both as a whole.
Creepy and scary and weird.
Okay.
I liked Ju-on better than Ringu.
Which American adaptation drags the original down more?
Also probably The Grudge. It's been a while since I've seen any of these, though, so take that with a big old pile of salt.
All right, well, we're going to be reading The Peony Lantern.
Also called Ringu.
This was suggested to us last year, like, right as we finished recording the last Spooklore episode of October.
But you didn't forget.
Kept a hold on it and rediscovered it this year. So this was suggested to us by Lucy, and it is sourced from Sacred Texts.
Thank you, Lucy, and thank you, Sacred Texts.
So if you want to read the full thing, you can find it there.
We have an executive producer. This week's episode is brought to you by Grace, who is Arn Thompson type 305, Dragon's Blood as Cure.
Ooh, also spooky.
Kind of. Kind of nice, too.
Yeah.
Like, in a Sean Connery kind of way.
I was going to say, which dragon? Is it the Sean Connery one?
Of course it is.
Do you want to watch all those?
No.
Like all five of those movies?
No.
Are you sure?
There are five of them?
I think so. There's a lot more than you think.
I fell asleep during the first one because it was the week we were doing sword practice.
Nah.
It's a lot of swords.
No, they're good. I think one or two of them might actually be pretty good movies.
You gotta watch
at least one.
You gotta watch all five to find it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, are you two ready?
Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. Thank you, Grace.
Thanks, Grace.
Thanks, Grace. All right, the Peony Lantern. Once there lived Hatamoto, which is like a high-class samurai, named Ijima Heizeyemon, I believe, whose only daughter, Tsuyo, was as beautiful as her name, which meant morning dew. When Tsuyo was 16, her dad took a second wife, and the daughter and the mother-in-law did not get along, so his solution to this was to build a villa for her somewhere far away from the house.
Double wife.
Was the first wife gone?
I don't know. No mention's ever made of her, so probably.
Double wife.
I'm just
weeble
wondering
wobble,
why...
weeble wobble, double wife.
I'm just wondering why this dad's present to his daughter on her sweet 16 was a new mom.
Here's a new mom.
You want a fresh mom?
Here's a new house.
just a second house?
Yeah, so the daughter goes and lives in a villa he has built specifically for her.
Oh man, rich people.
To get away from this mother-in-law that she doesn't get along with.
I mean, fucking samurai.
This is the Hatamoto, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they...
They got cash.
Sure.
And then he gave her a maid servant called Oyone to wait upon her. Tsuyo lived happily in her new home until the family physician, Yamamoto Shijo, paid her a visit along with a young samurai named Hagiwara Shinzaburo. Shinzaburo was very handsome and a gentle kind of soul, so they fell in love pretty immediately.
What? Is he just a bodyguard to the physician?
Just like a samurai buddy.
A bud.
Usually the samurai are under contract for something, if they're wandering around with someone.
A doctor and a samurai walk into a villa.
How many samurai we got?
So far, two.
Two samurai?
Yeah.
We got
five away.
We'll get there.
And then we can spend some time figuring out who's who. Won't that be fun?
Exciting.
For me, which one's Kanbe, do you think? This is for eight people.
Gordy's sleepovers.
Most of them Japanese.
But they're the right eight people.
Gordy's sleepovers as a child were full of very interesting games for everybody.
All right. 7 minutes in Samurai.
This 7 minutes in... Wow, that's a mashup.
the games you would play at your sleepovers.
I mean, that's how Gordy and I solidified our friendship.
Samurai?
It wasn't specifically... Well, it might have been Seven Samurai. I don't remember which movie
it was
Yojimbo. Okay, yeah.
I thought it was Redcliffe.
No.
Nah, I didn't find out about that until, 09.
Yeah, first time he and I hung out alone together and brought this
we
movie.
We did a double feature, I think.
Yeah.
Was it Yojimbo and then Usagi Yojimbo?
No.
All right.
There are lots of good pairings for Yojimbo, though. You can do Sanjuro. You can do that, and then Fistful of Dollars.
While the
Teenage
old
Mutant
doctor,
Ninja Turtles.
While sure. The old doctor was busy with something else, the two of them pledged themselves to each other for life in secret.
They go ahead and do it.
They pinky promise to get married. So when they were parting, Tsuyo whispered to the young samurai to remember that if he didn't come to see her again, she's definitely going to die. So get on that.
Huh? Gonna die?
Yeah.
From sad times.
Sadness was second only to consumption for common death. In the 1800s and earlier.
The feudal Japan Family Feud.
I would watch that show. Who do we have to...
Yeah, it's sadness, consumption, Inuyasha demons.
Various yokai.
Tsunami.
Naruto.
He's not feudal.
Right?
Pretty sure he's
no.
Present
yeah, we're
day.
Specifically feudal Japan.
Yeah, you're right.
And then rats.
Actually, I have no idea. It could be any time.
All right. So he never forgot those words, and he was eager to see more of her, but good etiquette forbade him from just knocking on her door one day with flowers in hand. He needed to go along with a chaperone. So
another doctor?
Same doctor. He wanted to go with that doctor again, and the doctor had promised to take him next time he went to visit.
Sure.
But the old doctor didn't keep his promise because he had seen Tsuyo's affection for him. She was panting.
Not so secret.
Panting over this hot samurai.
Did he want it instead?
No.
He just doesn't. He just hates love.
Well, he feared that her father would hold him personally responsible if anything came of that.
Why?
Because he brought the samurai, he brought this hot dude into her secret villa.
Why wouldn't he blame the hot dude?
I mean,
because he can't beat him in a fight because he's a better samurai.
Maybe.
And he can kill a doctor.
Yeah, and the father had a reputation for cutting off heads
of doctors,
of anyone who displeased him. Some of whom are doctors. Mm. What do you mean, appendicitis?
Bring me the next one.
So he figured maybe he should just stop seeing his hot samurai friend at all so that he doesn't need to keep this promise. So he just doesn't visit.
I'm going to anger a different samurai so that I don't get my head chopped off by the first samurai.
Well, hot samurai is gentle and first samurai is head choppy. So if you're going to piss off one of them, maybe the one that doesn't.
So is hot samurai not a good samurai?
Because he's gentle?
He's not an aggressive.
He uses a feather sword?
Yeah, he tickles his his enemies with his feather katana.
He's oh gosh, he's Rikichi.
Like it's a squeaky toy plush sword.
He's Rikichi.
Foam noodle.
It's just LARP weapons.
He's a pool samurai.
So months passed, and Tsuyo believed that her love had been scorned, so she pined away and died.
I mean, somebody was going to die in this equation. There's no way out of that.
Yeah, like a head's going to get chopped off or you're going to die of sadness.
But did it have to be the hot one?
Yeah.
It could have been the doctor.
I don't, like, if we're reading a story about a doctor who dies, I don't care. He's old and gross.
Probably. I don't know. He's shady, right? Like, there's something weird there.
He just visited her and was like, oh, she's got the hots for this guy. If she falls in love with him without her dad's consent, I'm going to get the chop.
I mean, he sabotaged them.
You laughed at me like that didn't make sense. My assumption.
That he was old and gross?
Yeah.
And that makes him not worthy of...
of a story.
Of worrying about if he gets...
of being the hero of a story. Picking a doctor is the same as a barber.
What?
Like, have you ever seen that puzzle where you get to pick a barber and one of them has a really nice haircut and the other one looks all fucked up?
No. What puzzle?
It's a puzzle. It's like, you gotta go to a barber. There's two options. One of them has a really clean haircut.
Yeah.
The other one looks like a fucking madman. Who do you go to?
Yeah, the one who's not gonna Sweeney Todd you.
Trick question, but... whatever the local franchise is.
No, you go to the madman because he's the one who cuts the hair of the other guy.
Uh-huh.
It's the same with doctors. If one of them looks real healthy, the other one has to be old and gross.
Well, the
because only one of them's good at treating.
Okay.
Obviously.
Okay. I think the nature of those professions might preclude your answer.
And I feel like if you actually follow this puzzle, you will end up getting Sweeney Todd.
Which
you guys need to play more Professor Layton.
Which one of them lies and which one tells the truth?
The one that tells the truth is the one who has the fucked up haircut, because he says, I'm great at haircuts.
Is the puzzle that you get one or two questions to the liar and not liar?
I think you only get one, don't you?
Just the one?
Yeah.
Oh.
So.
You should be able to gather some data. You should get like 20.
20 questions.
So you can chart a trend.
You just chuck a rock at one of them and then you ask them who you chucked a rock at.
Right, like you need something instantly verifiable.
You just ask one of them, are you dead?
Yeah.
It's the easiest way out.
What if you ask them a paradox? Do they die?
If they are computers, yes, maybe.
I don't know. Paradox.
After Tsuyo's funeral,
uh-huh,
her servant Oyone also died of grief at the loss of her mistress, and the two were buried side by side in a cemetery in like another province.
It's contagious.
The sadness is as contagious as consumption.
Does it say that
in the medical books? Yes.
In the story, did you make that up?
That's our through line.
The doctor told me in secret. Meanwhile, the hot samurai.
I think Carmen is the one that lies. We didn't even have to ask a question.
The hot samurai, Shinzaburo, knew nothing of what happened, but his disappointment and anxiety had made him very ill, and he was slowly recovering from this illness, but was still pretty weak when the doctor came to visit him. And the doctor makes some lame excuses about why he hasn't been visiting, and Shinzaburo says, hey, I've been sick since the beginning of spring. Would have been cool to have a doctor friend, probably. And also, you didn't keep your promise. And the doctor's like, she's dead now, though, so whoopsie.
Promise rescinded.
Isn't it nice when you get out of a promise because someone dies?
Always a great time.
So the doctor explains about the dad anger motivation.
Way too late.
Yeah. Says that he'd learned that she had died of love for this samurai. And then laughingly calls him a sinful fellow for being born so handsome that girls die of love for him.
Probably making it worse.
Apparently, according to the footnotes on the story, this is like a fairly standard Japanese conversation. Like, this kind of joking is a cultural standard, but I don't know because I've not been to Japan. That's just what the footnotes say. It's like, this seems weird to Westerners, but this wouldn't be out of place.
To just laugh about being a lady killer?
Yeah. In the middle of delivering this yeah, that girl you love is dead.
I mean, I get it. He's a shitty doctor. I don't like him.
Laughter is the best medicine, Tyler.
Like, he says, oh, it's you're so sinful because you're handsome, and she died because she loved you. She wouldn't have died if you had held up your end of the bargain, you cowardly, old, gross doctor.
Besides, how do you know Dad doesn't want her marrying this cool samurai?
He's a cool samurai.
Like, there's nothing particular. I mean, it's not like he's a poor samurai or a dirty samurai.
Samurai seems all right.
Yeah, it's the same profession her dad's in.
He would be into it. They could talk shop.
Yeah.
They could kill him. They could bro it out.
Test their katanas against each other.
So then he gets more serious and says, we must leave the dead to the dead. There's no use talking any further. So say your prayers for her, and doctor out. He leaves.
Doctor out.
So Shinzaburo is long stupefied with grief over this news, and when he's able to think clearly again, he writes her name on a mortuary tablet in his Buddhist shrine, and he says prayers and offerings to her every day. So he stays, like, solitude, locked up doing all this until the Great Festival of the Dead, which is held the 13th day of the 7th month. He decorates his house, he preps for the festival with lanterns to guide the returning spirits, and sets the food of the ghosts on the Shelf of Souls. Which is a cool shelf to have, I feel.
Just on hand?
Yeah, I think we could use one. Like, maybe above the TV. So the first evening of the festival, he kindled a lamp before Tsuyo's tablet, and he lit the lanterns. Then he sat on the veranda, thinking and dreaming about things, when the silence of the night was broken by the sound of a woman's geta, which are like the clogged sandal things, approaching until it reached his garden. He looks over the hedge and he sees two women passing by, one holding a lantern decorated with peony flowers, who looked like a servant, and the other one was a girl of 17 wearing an autumn blossom robe. Both women turn to look up at him, and he sees it's Tsuyo and Oyone.
So the servant died too?
Yeah, she died of grief that her mistress died.
Oh, it was a domino sad.
Yeah. Just like the pizza chain.
Sad dominoes. You order a pizza from us and you feel bad for the rest of your life.
It's true. So they called out in surprise saying, how strange, it's Hagawara-sama. And Shinzaburo called to the maid, Oyone, I remember you really well. Like, what are you doing here? And the maid says, we're told that you were dead. And he says that he was told that they were dead. And the maid says, what a hateful story. Why repeat such unlucky words? Who told you this? And
he says, a doctor.
Well, bad doctor.
Come inside. Let's talk about this. Like, not shouting over a balcony.
A doctor who apparently can't pronounce a body right.
So he invites them into his house, and they come and get comfortable, and he explains that the doctor told him that they had died, and the maid tells him the doctor had told them he was dead, and explains that it's possible that her mistress's dad had heard about her liking the samurai, and the mother-in-law maybe conspired with the doctor to cause trouble and make this not happen.
The mother-in-law character.
Yes, the one who showed up for a sentence to get a new house built.
Which mother?
The second wife.
Double wife?
Yeah,
double weeble wobble, weeble wobble.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
So when the mistress had heard that he had died, she'd wanted to cut her hair off and become a nun, but the maid had stopped her from doing that, and she just became a nun in her heart. Secret nun.
Become a nun either way, dad or mom or whoever.
Maid.
Mom? What?
Maid.
Maid.
Yes. So sometime after this, her father had wanted her to marry a certain man, and she had refused. This caused more trouble with that pesky mother-in-law. So they hid themselves in a very small house away from the villa, and they're barely able to live by doing a little bit of private work.
What are the duties of a nun?
And nun.
Can you do them in secret?
According to the last Japanese, I think, tale that we read with nuns, the Buddhist story. Oh, that was Chinese, sorry.
Was it? I don't remember where
it
was.
It was Buddhist, so it might have been one or the other. I think it was Chinese. But, like, the Buddhist nuns apparently have to do, like, a lot of meditation and making tigers fetch stuff. So you could do the meditation part secretly in your heart.
I'm just imagining having an alter ego that is sometimes a nun.
It's not like the best superhero pitch.
Yeah, like a Marvel character.
Sometimes nun.
Who just goes and bees a nun. For a time.
Get some exorcisms in there, then you I think you got yourself a show.
There you go.
What was the thing that happened? I forgot.
They're living in secret and doing odd jobs.
Yeah. Who is they exactly?
Everyone who's dead.
Everyone who
maybe
who's hot, possibly dead.
Yeah. Hot girl and maid.
Okay, just them, yeah. Not
no,
dad.
Shinzaburo is fine.
Not the dad. Not the mom.
Not the
not the, not the double wife.
Not the baby. Yeah.
Weeble wobble, weeble wobble.
I have no idea what you're referencing.
Nothing. Double wife. Weeble wobble, weeble wobble.
It's one of them punk rock songs.
Yeah, the famous punk rock anthem, Weeble Wobble, Weeble Wobble.
All right, so they had gone to visit the temples for the festival when they had run across him. So Shinzaburo was like, is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? He's been reciting prayers before a tablet with her name on it since he learned it, and he shows them, and the maid's like, that's real nice of you.
How fetching.
And as
quaint.
As for my mistress, since she turned towards Suyo, who had remained silent and demure, half hiding her face with her sleeve, and said, she wouldn't mind being disowned by her father for 7 lives, which is like... refers to the reincarnation cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or even for being killed by him to, like, make out with you. Will you let her stay here tonight?
Why isn't she talking? That's disconcerting. Is she a ghost?
Are you spooked?
I'm getting spooked.
Check the spooktralizer.
Do we do that in the middle usually? Or is that just at the end?
I mean, spooktralizer does what it wants.
Yeah, like it measures these spook levels of a story throughout the telling.
We have to wake it up and hope it's sober.
that's trashed out on Cheetos and some of that too much beer we have.
The main reading has been replaced with a slot machine at some point in the last year. And I am seeing 3 cherries.
That's where we're at.
That's how many
spookiness level is.
It's not. I feel like it has maybe been repurposed for something in the past year.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to do some maintenance on it. Okay, so Shinzaburo turned pale with joy and says, "Yeah, absolutely, she can stay here for sure."
And make out.
We're gonna fuck.
But don't speak too loudly because I have a troublesome neighbor named Hakuto Yusai who tells people's fortunes by looking at their faces. He's inclined to be curious. It's better he doesn't know.
He likes to listen to people. Fuck.
So the two women stayed the night, and they returned home a little bit before daybreak. And they did so for 7 nights in a row, coming at the same hour every night, and Shinzaburo became more and more attached to the hot 17-year-old.
Who isn't speaking or showing her face.
Has he seen her face at all?
Who knows what's happening behind closed doors?
When did he last see her face?
You're the storyteller, and you said that she's hiding her face.
She was doing that conversation.
Tell me when he last saw her face.
When he was hanging out with the doctor at her house.
Okay, so at no point has he seen her real face.
I don't know what's happening behind closed doors here.
Did he invite her in?
Yes.
That's a mistake.
Mistake number one. Did he feed her?
I don't know.
Has he crossed running water with her?
Did he collect her bloods?
No, probably not. That's probably not part of the normal courtship process.
Did he tie her hair into a pillowcase?
I don't know what he's into. It's possible.
These are all tests of the supernatural.
All right, so he had a servant named Tomozo who was living in a small cottage adjoining his house. And he and his wife were both, like, they both worked for him, and they were very devoted to him. So one night at a late hour, when Tomozo heard a woman's voice in his master's apartment, he became very uneasy, afraid that his gentle and affectionate master might be made the dupe of some cunning wanton. Master's been at the Craigslist ads again. I'm gonna have to get him.
A wanton?
Yes.
Like?
Catfished.
Yeah.
Catfished by a what would you call them? A potential second wife. Yes? No?
A woman. I don't know.
Right.
A catfisher.
Catfished into getting a second wife.
I mean, I think he's being catfished by a ghost already.
It'd be a good movie.
So the...
like you go onto somebody's dating profile and they say, am alive. We'll meet.
And
you meet up and they are not alive. That's the only difference. It is their picture.
Look.
But they are dead.
I had one qualification for who I wanted to date, and that was living woman.
It was Pulse. If a ghost hit me up on, like, what do people use? Thematch.com or something?
Okay, Cupid has been my go-to.
I might say yes.
Just for one date?
I mean,
you'd hear them out.
I would want to put some ground rules on it.
They can't touch the ground.
Like, make sure that I'm gonna leave.
You take
the date still alive.
You take
and
salt
not...
with you. You put a circle around you through the date.
But like, let's sure.
You want to leave the date, but not the mortal coil.
Yes, I am not. Yeah,
that would be kind of a fun. I don't know, movie maybe.
Ghost romance.
Yeah,
I think it's happened.
Ghost fuck. The movie.
But like, not in a spooky way, but in like an odd, awkward teen romance kind of way.
What if you could only date them when you were astral projecting?
You should call up Tim Burton. I bet he's got some makeup left over from his last movie. And he could probably whip that up in a couple days.
He's just got that in his closet.
He's
waiting.
Got the white makeup. He's got the black and white stripes. Johnny Depp lives in his closet.
I mean, he's just got a pool full of sugar that he rolls Johnny Depp around in.
He's married to Helena Bonham Carter.
Flower,
maybe,
rather.
Still. Last I checked, he was.
Who
that
can
could
say?
That could have changed. Did he remarry?
Double wife?
Double wife, weeble wobble, weeble wobble?
I don't understand.
I wonder. I just want to know. I'm going to look up if Tim Burton remarried.
So the servant resolves to watch, and the next night he spies through a chink in one of the sliding shutters and sees his master with a strange woman talking together under the mosquito net around his bed.
Gordy, you still doing the Twitter thing?
How good is the idea?
Tweet at Tim Burton, double wife, hashtag weeble wobble weeble.
We're going to lose all credibility for our large backlog of good ideas for companies to buy. All right, couldn't see the woman very clearly, only that she was very slim and appeared to be young by the way her clothes and hair were set.
Yeah.
So here's the conversation, and the woman is asking if she could live with him if she gets disowned by her father, and Shinzaburo is saying, yeah, absolutely, but I think your father, like, you're his only kid, so he probably loves you too much to just, like, throw you off. But I do fear that one day we'll be cruelly separated by other means. And she responded softly, never could I even think of accepting any other man for my husband. Even if my secret was found out and my father killed me, after death itself, I could never cease to think of you. And I am now quite sure that you would not be able to live very long without me. Spooktralizer meter going up. So she's clinging close to him, her lips were at his neck, and she caressed him and he returned the caresses. So Tomozo wondered as he listened, because her language was the language of a highborn lady and not a common folk. So
probably not a wanton.
Yeah, so he creeps around to try and get a good look at her face. Takes him a little bit to find, like, a vantage point.
It's definitely spooky. They've been dancing around this face. What is going on?
Is it, what's it going to be?
How many scales?
I was going to say, is it a lizard face? Is it a ghost? Is it dead? Is it a dog?
It's a ghost of a dead dog.
Is it two of her faces?
Is that your official poll time? She's
her face is the whole body of a dead dog.
She's got one face on the front, another one on the back.
Oh, her head has been replaced by a golden retriever.
She's got a little Voldemort back there.
She might have that.
The Voldemort is also a dog.
What's up with this... What's up with the servant? What's she doing?
She
hanging out?
I mean, she's the little rat man.
She's the what?
The little rat man.
The rat
the
man?
Peter Pettigrew?
Yeah.
Oh, not Professor Quirrell.
Well, no, you just said that this woman is.
Not the, right.
With the Voldemort face.
The rat man. Peter Quirrell, Ron's.
Peter Quirrell.
Peter Quirrell, Ron's sex pet or whatever it was. What?
Gordy, I think you forgot, and you were reading fan fiction instead of J.K. Rowling's official works.
Nah, I mean,
I think you got a cursed copy.
Ron was sleeping with a grown ass man.
If I go on fanfiction.net and I type in the words Peter Quill, Ron's sex pet, or whatever, and I don't get a result that has at least 80 chapters, I'm disowning the internet.
The experiment has failed.
Like, even if it's Lauren Ipsum that a bot put together.
Send to Gordy's personal Twitter account, no. Your Peter Pettigrew fan
thank
fiction.
You.
Just
no,
bombard
thank
him
you.
With that shit.
I think I just channeled the bot that would be writing that, because I kind of forgot
Gordy
some of the words
the
in Harry Potter.
So you spruced it up with your own.
That was just kind of an example of the spirit moving through me, I think.
My last one, he was able to see her face. An icy trembling seized him, and the hair of his head stood up for the face that she had.
Because she's a shark now.
Oh, it's his face.
What?
No, he's looking at the woman's face.
Yeah, but she's got his face now.
Oh, God.
Or his dad's face. It's his father.
And he's very disappointed in what he's done with his life.
She's his sister, like in Star Wars.
She's his sister dad.
Yes. And they get married.
Secretly.
Anyway, she's his sister mom, wife sister, uncle dad. What is she? How are they related, and who secretly gave birth to who or what?
Okay, it was the face of a woman long dead.
Oh. So like a zombie.
And the caressing fingers were just naked bone.
Oh, it's a skeleton.
Then her body below the waist melted off.
I don't know why that tickled me so much.
I'm trying to be spooky here.
It's hard to think of a spooky, what do you call it?
Skellyman?
It's not a spooky word. Skeleton is kind of spooky. Skellyman is not.
All right. Her body below her waist melted off into the thinnest trailing shadow.
Ah, not good for a wife.
No.
First or second.
Any order.
Weeble wobble, weeble wobble.
I hate this.
The true horror is the meaning of the phrase, the incantation.
Simultaneously, as he was noticing this, another and weirder woman's figure rose up very suddenly from within the chamber and swiftly moved toward Tommaso as if discerning his presence. So he freaks the fuck out and runs to the dwelling of that nosy neighbor, Hekudo Yusai.
I thought it was his servant.
No, this is the servant who's spying.
Oh.
Servant runs to the nosy neighbor.
Oh, I see.
In terror. Mm. And wakes him up with frantic knocking. So nosy neighbor was a very old man, but he had traveled much and heard and seen enough to not be easily surprised, but the story that the servant's telling him is enough to shake him. He had read some ancient Chinese stories of love between the living and dead, but hadn't believed it possible until this time. So he tells the servant that if this woman is indeed a ghost, the master will die soon unless something extraordinary is done to save him. If she
like
is
a backflip.
Yeah, like really cool parkour.
Like a flat-footed backflip.
If she is a ghost, signs of death will appear on his face, because living spirits have positive energy and dead spirits have negative energy, and a marriage between the two is impossible. So don't tell anyone, not even your own wife, and I'll do all that I can to save him.
Seem to know a lot about how to solve the situation for something that you didn't believe was true.
He read a book.
He figured he should keep it on hand just in case it did happen.
He thought it was fiction, but like... maybe not. So he comes the next morning to call upon Shinzaburo, who at first denies that any woman had been visiting, but is finally persuaded to tell the truth and says that he intends to marry her soon.
He doesn't know that she's a ghost?
No. He has not noticed any of these things. Like, he thinks she is a full and beautiful living human.
Well, then what's wrong?
She's slowly killing him.
So? She's dead.
I mean, it's bad for him.
He can also, I mean,
it
he
sounds
can
like
also
it's great
be,
for him. Then they'll both be dead.
I mean, they should both be one or the other if they want to be together. It's not appropriate like this.
Yeah, if he loves her as hard as he says he does, then probably he wouldn't mind too much. So Yusaya yells, "Oh madness, the people who've been coming here are dead. The lips of the dead have touched you. The hands of the dead have caressed you. Even at this moment, I see in your face the signs of death. You don't believe me? Go visit the home that they told you about when you first met them today and see if you can find it. If you don't save yourself, you have less than 20 days to live."
Fuck. This is basically the book I'm reading, which is The Last in the Earthsea series.
Mm-hmm.
This is like very, very similar in a lot of ways.
So Shinsaburo is startled but not convinced by this. But he decides to follow the advice, and he goes looking in the province that they had talked about for the small house that they had mentioned. But there's no dwelling seen, and no one in this town knows of any two women living by themselves. So he figures lost cause and goes back home via a shortcut, which happens to go through a graveyard. Sees a couple of fresh tombs there.
Fresh tombs and fresh teens.
And
we're having a party.
He looks at them a little closer because one of them has the peony lantern outside of it, and it is of course Oyone and Suyo's gravestones. So he remembers Oyone's explanation when they'd first met, which now took on a more sinister meaning, which was like, we went away and we found a very small house in this district that he's in. There we are now just barely able to live by doing a little private work. The grave's very clearly the very small house. The little bit of private work was as of yet unspecified.
I mean, what odd jobs do ghosts do?
Curses.
Spooks for hire.
Yeah.
You just want somebody to not live in a house anymore?
Yeah. Microaggressions.
Tell ghosts to go.
Yeah, maybe.
You Scooby-Doo them out of that place.
A Scooby job.
So that old man Jenkins can get the gold fortune or whatever.
Yes, no, we should check Craigslist for a Scooby job.
As soon as I said it, I realized how sexual it sounds.
M for F, Scooby job.
M for F, serious Scooby work. Needed.
Need a deep Scoob.
BB, what is it? BBM for BBW.
Deep Scooby job.
Deep Scoobs.
So he's terrified and runs to the house of the fortune teller, nosy neighbor fellow, and he begs for guidance. But Yusei can't help him himself. Like, he doesn't have the actual skills to help him. He just read a book once. So he directs him to the high priest Ryoseki, who is a learned and holy man. So when he goes there, Ryoseki tells Shinsaburo that he is in great danger, and this is due to an error committed in a former life. There's a very strong karma that binds him to this dead woman. He can't explain it in a way that Shinsaburo has any chance of understanding, so he'll just tell him this. The dead person has no desire to injure you out of hate, but it's affection that's going to kill you. She has probably been in love with you for a long time preceding your present life, like maybe 3 or 4 past lives ago. So, like, this is a pretty deep cut and is not going to be easy to pull away from. So, it gives him a religious object called a memori with an image of a particular Buddha to help that serves to protect the living from the dead, and tells him he has to wear it next to his body under his girdle.
At all times?
At all times. He also gives him a holy sutra to recite every night and a package of ofuda, which are like the charms, talismans that you stick on things, to paste over every opening of the house, no matter how small that opening might be.
How many cats does he have to draw on the window?
3. So he follows the advice. He gets the charm on, he puts the things on the wall, he starts saying the sutras. Night comes and he shuts all the doors. He chants the sutra again and he tries to get some rest, but no sleep comes. So at around 2 a.m., which is the hour of ghosts and goblins, the temple bells toll and he hears the sounds of those shoes outside again. And a cold sweat breaks out because now he knows that it's ghosts.
Were they coming at a different time?
No, I don't know if they were coming earlier during the Festival of the Dead or if
that was
just
the exception.
Or if he's just, like, a late sleeper.
Just didn't realize that every time she came to visit was ghost time.
Yeah, ghost o'clock. So he starts reading the sutra again, and he hears the steps getting nearer, and then they stop. And then instead of continuing the sutra like he's supposed to, he foolishly approaches the shutter and peers out to see Tsuyo and Oyone standing outside with the peony lantern and gazing at the Buddhist text pasted above the entrance.
But they do it like a jump scare.
Yeah. Never before had Tsuyo appeared so beautiful, and Shinzaburo felt his heart drawn toward her, but fear of death pulled him back, so he's like tortured inside. He hears the maid say, "There's no way to enter. His heart must have changed because he bars us from his house. It's wiser for you not to think any more about him. I'm like, men are scum." It's evident he doesn't want to see you, so you better not give yourself any more trouble for the sake of a man whose heart is so unkind.
Go buy a couple gallons of ghost cream.
Yep. We're gonna watch ghost flicks. So the girl starts weeping and says, "To think this could happen after the pledges we made to each other. I didn't think he'd be this cruel. Dear Yone, please find some means of taking me to him or I'll never go home again." So Oyone tries to take her to the rear of the dwelling, and there the two of them disappear as suddenly as light disappears when the flame of a lamp is blown out.
Spooky.
So night after night, they come at the same hour, and night after night, his evening is rent open by the weeping of Tsuyo. And Shinzaburo believes himself saved, little imagining his doom was already decided by the character of his servants.
I just want him to go be a ghost. He'll be happier. he's doing this to himself right now.
Stop with all this. You can just be together and dead.
Like, clearly not that big an issue. She seems to be doing fine.
And you'll have more lives.
Yeah.
Later, so takes the sting out of death a little bit, I guess.
It does.
So Tomozo had promised never to tell anyone about what was going on, not even his own wife. But night after night, Oyone, the maidservant, entered his house, spooking him from sleep and asking him to remove the talisman placed over a very small window at the back of the house. Tomozo fearfully promised every night, but by daylight he couldn't make up his mind to remove it, believing that they intended evil for Shinzaburo, and he does actually care about his master.
This is a very good ghost tactic. I appreciate this lady's ghost gumption.
Her pro strats.
Yeah.
Go bother the servant.
We can't get into the house, but other living people can, and we can sure as shit scare them into doing stuff for us.
Yeah.
Get them to tear stuff down.
Yeah.
And then we go in the house.
It's resourceful.
So one night in the middle of a storm, Oyone startled him from sleep with a yell of reproach and stooped above his pillow saying, "Take care how you trifle with us.
We are ghosts, you know.
If by tomorrow night the text is not removed, you'll learn how I can hate." And then she made her face so frightful that Tomozo nearly died of terror.
Can she have a knife in her back pocket?
ghost
just
of the
unseen.
Knife?
Just unseen.
You want to insert a knife?
Yeah.
She's not going to perform a knife miracle, so she...
She's a ghost. Everything she does is a miracle.
I don't know. It's a dangerous precedent to set.
So Tomoza's...
I want ghost representation.
Wife chanced to wake suddenly, and she heard the voice of a woman. But when she, was fully awake, the talking had ceased. And when she looked around, she only saw her husband shuddering and white with fear. All the doors were locked, and it was impossible that anyone could have entered.
Save for a ghost.
But her jealousy is aroused.
Just by hearing another woman's voice?
His face is white with terror, so unless that's how you two have conducted marriage for your whole time, he's probably not boning down on someone right now.
I mean, if her first instinct is that, it might be true.
That's possible. She has just ruled him in the bedroom with a fist of fear.
Yup.
It's that's his O face, it's just white with terror.
Ugh. You can't do that.
What do you mean? We just did.
I mean, you can't go on like that.
No, that's a terrible marriage.
I mean, he's going to be a ghost soon, too.
Hopefully. I guess.
It's best case scenario for this, everyone ghost.
I mean, yeah. Isn't it always?
I think
that's
so.
That's kind of where I'm at.
I mean, I don't. Maybe not the family.
Why not?
Do they matter?
Just be ghosts.
So, all ghost dad and everybody?
Yeah, ghost world. Ghost planet.
Okay.
So his wife starts messing with him and bothering him and teasing him and just harpifying him. until he gets broken down and explains what he told that he was not going to. So she devises a plan to save her husband by sacrificing their master.
Great plan. Do what the ghost says.
And she tells him what to do. So,
which is to do what the ghost says.
Kind of. The next night, when she hears the sound of the ghost's approach, she hides and sends Tomozo to go meet the ghosts out in the dark, which I'm sure he's thrilled by.
Mm.
And he's he tells them what his wife told him to say, which was that we haven't.
I ain't afraid of no ghost.
I am very afraid of all ghosts. But the only reason we haven't removed the text, like you've asked, is because we're still dependent on our master for survival. So if you can get us 100 Rio in gold, we can help you then, because then we'll be independent. We won't need him anymore, and you can do what you want.
What's in it for us, ghosts?
So Oyone turns to Tsuyo and says, "Mistress, I told you it wasn't right to trouble this man. Like, please forget your crush on the samurai. Like, we're going to ruin this guy's life with no good reason." But Tsuyo says she can't stop loving him. Please somehow get the money. Like, pay the man. Get me to my lover.
Pay him so he and his wife...
Pay Tomozo, the servant, so that he can get rid of the talisman and he and his wife don't rely on Shinzaburo for a salary anymore. So whatever happens to him, they can still eat.
No skin off their ass.
Yes.
If Tsuya gets a ghost husband, does the servant get off the hook at that point? Like, is she still shackled into servitude?
I don't know. Like, I'd hope she could just do her own. Is she a ghost? She's a ghost.
Yeah, Oyone's a ghost. Well, she's...
Like, if she does enough good ghost deeds, does she get her body back or something?
Probably not. I mean,
she wasn't murdered or anything. She died of grief for this mistress. So, like, I think she is attached of her own will.
She just sounds long-suffering.
I think she's... I mean, she is an adult dealing with a teenager that has a teenage crush on a samurai that
we
she died of.
We have other ghost stuff we could go do.
Yeah, like there's cooler shit. You didn't get a chance to get away from the swimming hormones that make your mind a maelstrom of terror and sadness because you let that kill you like a lame ass.
And then I let it kill me.
Because it's contagious. But yeah, you should just forget this dude. Let's go see the world. So Oyone says, "Why do you ask me to do these things? You know very well I have no money."
"I am a ghost like you.
But since you insist, I guess I'll try to find some."
I like this character a lot.
Yeah, me too. So then she tells the servant that the master also wears a talisman on his body that prevents their approach, so he needs to get that too in addition to taking off the thing, and then he'll get his money.
A lot of magic spells and stuff.
Ghost wards.
Yeah, they're serious about ghosts.
Yeah. I mean, ghosts are getting day jobs to pay for, like, hitmen, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta be working.
Ghosts are a part of the economy now.
That sounds like an interesting game mechanic, where you are a ghost, but you
but
also...
But you need to earn money somehow.
So you have to possess things.
So, the next night, the dead came at the appointed time. Tomozo gets the gold... And then removes the words, and he had replaced the talisman earlier while his master was in the bath, so, like, he took the real one out and put a similar-looking one in its place.
They're really not going to tell us how these ghosts did a crime.
They did not.
Would that be a good stealth game?
Where you are a ghost doing a ghost crime?
Like, I mean, seems OP at stealth.
Like, I mean, like, you have to, like, possess things.
You have to move the coins one by
people,
one.
And people, like, to make money and do stuff... But if anybody sees you, they'll, like, exorcise the whole place.
You have to get around these talismans and things. You have to trick people into getting rid of them. It could be an interesting game. And, like, in ghost form, you're very sneaky, but you can only manipulate things a little bit. Like, you can poltergeist shake some stuff, and you can maybe do some writing on the walls.
It says, "Give me money."
Yeah, but you gotta figure out how to maneuver around a very superstitious society that has ghost wards everywhere. And maybe some people with, like, second sight or something.
Who definitely know that you're there?
Yeah, like, they can see you, so you gotta figure your way around them.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
I think that could be a really cool game. I'd be down. Good spook game. Where are your programming skills for that?
It's a lot of mechanics you just said.
Okay, so yeah, the ghosts are able to get in because all the stuff is removed, but what happened in that house, Tomozo did not see or know. Took a long time after daylight before he got up the bravery to go to work. And when he knocked on the door, no one answered, and it was the first time that Shinzaburo had not answered the door when he knocked.
So definitely dead.
So getting a little nervous.
Dead.
He and his wife break into the house, and they start creeping toward the sleeping chamber, calling out their master's name and getting no response. And he gets the gumption to lift up the corner of the mosquito net that covers the master's bed.
Dead.
Then he flees from the house at what he sees.
Dead.
Shinzaburo was dead. Not just regular dead, but hideous dead.
Ghost dead.
Ghost dead.
He had the face of a man who had died in uttermost agony of fear. And lying beside him in the bed were the bones of a woman, and the bones of her arms and the bones of her hands were clung fast around his neck.
Thought you were going to say, and the bones of the servant.
So the fortune teller fellow went to go view the corpse after the panic gibbering of the servant brought that to his attention. And a sharp eye noticed that the words had been taken off the window and that the talisman had been replaced. And he suspected Tomozo, but goes to consult the priest Ryoseki to get like more authoritative word on this.
Sure.
Ryoseki already knows that he's dead, like hasn't gone to see him or anything, but knows, because he knew that he was suffering the results of an evil karma, and his attendant was a bad man. And what happened was as unavoidable as his destiny was determined, was unavoidable because his destiny had been determined a long time before his last birth. So he instructs that instead of burying Shinzaburo in the family shrine, that he needs to be buried next to Tsuyo because their karma relation is very deep. And the fortune teller needs to erect a tomb for him at his own cost because he is indebted to him for many favors. The end.
I mean, sounds like it was according to plan.
Yeah.
Everything played out the way it was supposed to.
Like, Ryoseki gave him, like, false hope, I guess?
I guess.
Like, here's something to keep you busy while you wait for the death
in
that's
inevitable.
In your
last days.
I don't know if I agree that the servant was a bad man so much as a...
A kinda, bastard man.
Kind of just chased into a corner by a ghost.
Yeah, like, he definitely didn't have bravery or integrity. I think he was more a coward man.
I kind of thought that story was going to end after the reveal that she was dead. Like, I thought we were building up to like
a
reveal, like, and then it was going to be, and then it was going to end. And there was so much more than that.
Well, that's how like the spooky stories for kids books end. And it's like, and they were dead.
She was a ghost.
All right. And
he was
one.
A ghost.
She was
and
dead.
You're
the whole
a ghost.
She was dead the whole time. Bruce Willis. Spoilers.
Kingdom Hearts.
So Kingdom Hearts, they were dead the whole...
Like
Goofy
that.
Was dead the whole time.
That would make that a better game. I like that, like, halfway through the story, both of you keyed into the fact that Shinzaburo sucked and should have just ghosted it up.
It's not that he sucked. It's that he was clearly unhappy. And, like, he was fine until somebody pointed out you're dying. And then he had that to worry about when he shouldn't have been worried about it.
And just done
there,
it.
Yeah.
There was a solution on the table. He just didn't want to take it.
Like, other people got nosy, and then he got worried.
Right.
He would have had no problem if it just happened.
Yeah, in the notes, in the footnotes of the story, because I think this was taken down by someone who was visiting from a Japanese tour guide or friend, or like someone had told him the story and was talking to him about it. So in the like in notes of the story, they asked like, how do you feel about Shinzaburo? And he's like, well, I feel like it's kind of lame that he that Shinzaburo is a despicable creature. Mentally, this person's been mentally comparing him to the true lovers of their old ballad literature, like Western ballads, who would be all too glad to follow a dead sweetheart into the grave. And believe that and this is believing they only have one human life to enjoy the world. And then in the traditions in this story, they believe a lot of lives. So it's real selfish
to cling so desperately to this one.
Right. When you know, when you believe that you're coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Shinzaburo was a Buddhist, million lives behind him, a million lives before him. And he was too selfish to give up even one existence for the sake of the girl that came back to him from the dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is shitty.
I mean, that makes sense in the context of this story.
And he was even more cowardly than selfish, because although a samurai by birth and training, he had to beg a priest to save him from ghosts.
Ah, yeah. Can't fight that one down with your big sword.
In every way, he proved himself contemptible, and Otsuyo did quite right in choking him to death. So this is from the Westerner's perspective.
Can't katana a ghost to death, can you?
And his friend said that, like, similar from the Japanese point of view, that Shinzaburo is contemptible, and the only attractive character in the story is Oyone. The type of old-time, loyal and loving servant, intelligent, shrewd, full of resource, faithful not only unto death, but beyond it. So,
agreed.
Yeah, like, they're on board us. So I found it amusing because I'd read those end notes and then you guys are saying the same thing about this.
Every move she made seemed correct to me.
Yeah, like, she's going to do what her mistress says.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. she truly cares and loves about her. But her mistress is a 17-year-old girl who has a crush and has ascribed it the importance that most 17-year-olds give their crushes before you have, you know, a few heartbreaks under your belt and the jadedness that comes with being mid-20s and later.
And when presented with the problem of having a house that ghosts can't go to, she does think outside the box of a way to get into that house.
Yeah, no, she's very clever about it. But she also still has, like, her own moral code. Like, we should not bother this guy for your crush.
He's not worth it.
Right. Like, she'll still serve the mistress as much as she can. I do want to know what those ghost crimes were.
How did they get the money?
And when the story had repeated the thing about the, like, little jobs that they were doing,
mm-hmm.
I thought that something was going to come of that. Like, that he had learned something truly heinous that they were... ghosting about to make their living. It's like, there are some vampire traditions where they'll, like, eat the hearts of other corpses or, of course, suck the blood of living people.
As a job?
I mean, it puts food on the table.
I mean, someone.
Sure.
I mean, someone's got to do it, right?
So, like, I thought the story was going to go into a way where it's, like, in order to present the face of a living woman, she is... killing other people, like,
or stealing faces.
Yeah, like, turn her into an actual scary, contemptible person.
That would have made it spookier.
Rather than just being someone dead who really likes him. It's like a dead girl with a crush.
A blushing skeleton.
What if he had married?
Married somebody else or married her?
Someone else.
And then she, like, killed or possessed that person? That would be spookier.
And she became... What would that make her?
A double wife.
A double wife, weeble wobble, weeble
wobble. Why? What is this?
It's, what's what? What's what? Don't stop Googling things. Doesn't matter. It's just the double wife, weeble wobble, weeble wobble. Getting a lot of hits on Google.com.
I am not. It's suggesting double wide, weeble wobble, weeble wobble.
Double wide.
Yes. There are pictures
sounds
of
like
a lot
scoop
of, like,
job to me.
Weeble toys. There's an Amazon Play School Weebles play set.
Yeah.
They wobble, but they don't fall down.
And then there's Meet the Gombox Weebles for Adults from the Pharmaceutical Journal blog.
Read that sentence again.
Meet the Gombox Weebles for Adults blog, Pharmaceutical Journal.
I'm not sure what Weebles for children are.
They're the self-writing plastic toys.
Yeah.
They weeble and wobble, but they don't fall down.
They what?
They weeble and they wobble, but they don't fall down.
Do they?
Yeah. I don't know what the adult variant is.
What are they,
what are
though?
Triple X weebles?
What are they? What does it look like?
The geometric term for a weeble-like object is a monostatic body, which means it has one stable resting position and only one unstable point of balance.
Say it in normal.
Weebles like are weighted, so their center of mass is shifted from their geometric center, hence they wobble but do not fall over.
Yeah, you can't topple it.
Weeble wobble, weeble wobble. Can't fall down.
How did the ghosts get money? We need to solve this before we can turn the spooktralizer off. It has a gun to my head. It said, tell me where the ghost money came from.
Do you think they possessed... Did they possess somebody to do it?
The easiest one would be a banker.
Right. Like, I think the easiest way to do this is just take control of somebody's body and, like, make them get the money or to poltergeist some money away.
My personal favorite answer is that they took over the body of a pirate and beached his boat and stole, like, gold doubloons.
I'm fine with that. It's either that or a lot. I mean, kind of like they got the guy to do the things, like take away the wards.
That's what I was afraid of, like, is that we were going to go down a line of favors.
Yeah.
It was going to be one of those stories.
Like, they might have just made themselves scary until people gave them money.
Yeah, people crapped out money in fear. Because they haven't proven the possession ability.
No.
Like, they're mostly just spooking around.
Yeah, they just exist. Usually at a specific time, which is not a money-making time.
No, it's not. Like, they might get a lot of money off of drunks, though. So maybe, like, they open up a ghost food stand of the kind of food that you want when you have had too much drunks.
I was going to say, if I were drunk, I would probably give a ghost a dollar so that I wouldn't have to process it in that state. Like, just to go away.
Not for a trick.
I think seeing it is enough. Seeing the ghost is probably worth the dollar.
Sure.
I don't know that I needed to do much more than that.
I enjoy this website that talks about the reproduction of ghosts.
What are you doing?
I was looking up, like, ghost ability, like, powers ascribed to ghosts.
In
fiction.
In mythology.
Yeah, like, to see, you know, if there's maybe a more interesting way they could make money.
Apparently fucking.
They can fly.
Yep.
They live forever.
Yep.
They can phase through all forms of matter.
Mm-hmm.
Could do some ghost spying, maybe. Just ghost secret ops.
A quick spot of ghost ops.
Or, like, maybe that odd jobs thing is that they have a PI service. And so, like, a wife suspects her husband of cheating, and then they just, like, ghost spy on him.
Leave the money at the door.
Various extortions.
Right. They can be invisible. They can possess people. They can move stuff with their minds. They can teleport. This guy starts adding, like, editorializing at the end of these descriptions of the power. Ghosts can move objects without physically touching them. Cool. Ghosts can vanish from one part of the house and appear at another. Freaky.
Rad.
This guy's classification system of ghost powers.
Cow a bing bong.
He only does it for those two things, so those are the only ghost powers he's real into.
Either fall into the cool or freaky class.
Corporealization, where they can become tangible and solid at will. Then it goes into weaknesses.
None.
Iron, salt, and light. Appearance, and then reproduction.
Yeah.
And the two forms of ghost reproduction are death.
What? Sure, I guess.
Like when someone dies a violent death and left with unfinished business.
That's when a ghost is born.
They become ghosts,
That's how ghosts reproduce. And then death via killed by a ghost.
What site is this again?
Like an infection, a ghost can potentially turn someone into a ghost by killing them.
Yeah.
NarekChase.com/index.php.
What is this person's credentials?
Ghost fan.
They do a blog. Their recent posts include Dragon Ball Z Cooler's Revenge review.
What I'm doing tonight.
followed by how to create a fictional species !! List of dragon powers and abilities in fiction. And then the Predator review.
Copy and paste this into our group chat because Gordy needs to hyperlink this site to the episode.
I'm going to need that later.
Henry Cavill, no longer Superman in DCEU.
So far, Ghost is the odd man out of this fucking content.
Wasteland review, open topic discussion, Breaker debates, episode 142.
Yeah, I'm getting... I don't know about this now.
Yu-Gi-Oh!
I thought it was going to be more Ghost stuff.
Yu-Gi-Oh! GX Tag Force.
I'm back in.
And 16 spinoffs currently in the works and 12 possibilities.
For Yu-Gi-Oh?
No, for something else.
Oh. We have to end this.
It has to be over. Is there anything else that we need to talk about? I think we covered the pertinent stuff.
I think we just need a final spookiness rating.
That's true.
So what was our decision on Ghost Jobs?
What was our decision?
They did some.
I'm voting that they ran a PI service during the day, and then at night, during the ghosting hours when everyone can see them, they sold like street food to drunk people.
I can get behind both of those.
Longshoremen.
I mean, they had time. We have no idea how many days in between these things happened.
Night longshoremen.
All right.
How spooky is this story?
Gordy, you're the official spooktralizer reader, I think. Or was Tyler that person? One of you was.
It was me.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm gonna spin. Well, I'm gonna pull the lever on the slot machine. We're gonna retrofit this thing by next week so that it's a little bit more helpful, because I don't know how to interpret this. So let's just pull the lever, and I'll just read the symbols off. Lemon. Another lemon.
Scooby-Doo's face.
And a mule. So interpret that how you will. Lemon, lemon, mule. Is the spookiness of this story.
At least we didn't get a bar.
A bar? You didn't want a bar?
No bar signs. Or is that good?
Oh, I don't know. In the Vegas?
You gotta get the sevens.
Sure,
that's
I don't know.
That's the good one.
I've never done it once in my life.
All right, thank you, Lucy, for suggesting this spook lore.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you, Grace, for sponsoring this spook lore.
Thank you, Grace.
Thank you, Grace.
Thank you to all of our patrons for keeping our wheels running, our spookiness spooking.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you to our top-tier patrons, Whisper Biscuit, Sarah, Maya, Robert, Sarah, Grace, MC Atnip, Jeremiah, Roast Rabbit, Haley, Tim, Dom, Justin, Lily, Jenna, Jen, and Heather.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you always, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Neon.
Thank you, Neon.
The Neon.
The Neon.
Get it right.
That was a close one. I don't want it to come for me in the night. That's a spooky story. Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Skellamon.
Thank you, Skellamon.
Thank you, Skellamon.
Thank you, Spooktralizer.
Thank you, Spooktralizer. Take care of yourself.
Thank you, Scoob Job.
Thank you, Scoob Job.
Thank you, Scoob Job.
We're What the Folklore. That's how it works.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.